light is on. Good afternoon. This is the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Friday, March 2nd. My co-chair would like to give some preliminary remarks.
Well, I'm going to apologize to the House. I was up at the podium, and I knew we were going to get done by 3 o'clock, so I said, please tell them that we can't get there at 3:30. I don't think the word reached you, because if you've been here since 3, I apologize. I don't like to keep people waiting, so I feel bad about that.
Okay.
Well, let's flip it in. We weren't here at 3:15.
Thank you. And I'm opening a work session on various bills. You will notice they are not in numerical order. As a former library person, this drives me crazy, but we will do them in the order they are listed on the agenda. Senate Bill 1544A, Senator Steiner Hayward, relating to marijuana.
Madam Chair, I have no ponies. I think Senator Girard has that one.
Madam Chair, I have that one.
Excellent.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1544 makes a number of changes to marijuana regulations, including labeling and packaging standards. The bill clarifies which medical marijuana growers are required to use cannabis tracking system. The bill also creates illegal marijuana market enforcement grant program within the Criminal Justice Commission to assist cities and counties with costs for law enforcement effort against illegal grows and distribution. The measure is expected to result in an additional 378 medical marijuana growers subject to the requirement to use cannabis tracking system, driving the need for 3 additional positions at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. The subcommittee recommends 3 positions and $600,693 other funds expenditure limitation for the OLCC, 1 position and $1.5 million other funds expenditure limitation is recommended for the Criminal Justice Commission to administer the grant program. Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1544 be amended by the -A23 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Senator Johnson. Is that it?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you're right.
Madam Chair, I was in capital construction, and I've been given additional information. I'm a yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Motion passes. Senate Bill 1565A, relating to methods of public procurement. Senator Manning.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 1565 creates 2 pilot programs related to statewide procurement practices, 1 to test reverse auctions and 1 to test 30% weight for price. The Department of Administrative Services will report regularly to the Governor and to the Joint Committee on Information Management Technology on the status of the pilot programs. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1565 be amended by the -A5 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Senator Johnson.
I'd like to thank the Governor's office for being willing to accept some thoughtful criticism about this bill and making adjustments. I think that bringing some discipline to our purchasing and procurement is absolutely necessary, and I appreciate their flexibility in making adjustments.
Other discussion? Objections?
You're still in
now. Wait.
No.
DeBoer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to concur with my fellow senator.
Objections.
That's okay.
Motion passes. Senate Bill 1566A, relating to employer contributions to the public employees' retirement system. Senator Johnson.
Thank you, colleagues. Senate Bill 1566 contains a number of provisions to address the public employee retirement system unfunded accrued liability. This measure does not impact PERS member defined pension or defined contribution benefits, but does provide a new source of financing for the member pension benefits. The measure establishes an employer incentive fund to be used for a 25% match program. All PERS entities, including school districts, community colleges, and public universities, are eligible to participate in the matching funds program under the conditions outlined in the bill. The fund is capitalized with an estimated $25 million in one-time funding from Senate Bill 1529. The measure establishes a school district's unfunded liability fund. The PERS board is planning to create a school district's pooled side account and proportionately distribute the side account along all school districts as an offset to employer contribution rates. The fund is capitalized with an estimated $115 million in one-time funding from Senate Bill 1529. Additional revenue transfers may become available that may become available include excess revenues from debt collection, capital gains, estate taxes, and interest on unclaimed property. The measure allows an entity making a lump sum cash payment into a side account of $10 million or more to choose an amortization period of 6 years, 10 years, 16 years, or 20 years. The measure creates an unfunded accrued liability resolution program to assist an employer in the development of a plan to improve the employer's funded status. The recommended amendment resolves a conflict with Senate Bill 1529, which relates to connection to federal tax law. An amended version of that bill established the Employer Incentive Fund and the School District's Unfunded Liability Fund. The recommended amendment for this measure repeals those two funds in order to eliminate the conflict of these same funds being established in Senate Bill 1566. The measure includes various repeal dates and date-specific limitations on sources of revenue and directs various reporting to the legislature. PERS may need to request additional other funds expenditure limitation and position authority from the Emergency Board or from the 2019 legislature for administrative and reporting costs related to this measure. Your Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 1566 be amended by the -A11 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. And I might as well just call Mr. Borden up here right now if there are questions.
Discussion. Objection. Oh, yes. Representative.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Again, in capital construction, I was a no based upon the Senator Johnson's comments and Senator Canope that Senate Bill 1566 does not take marijuana money from cities and counties and put it in the PERS retirement fund. I will be a yes if that's affirmative.
Additional discussion? Objections? Senator DeBoer. Motion passes. House Bill 4007B relating to housing, Representative Rayfield.
House Bill 4007 creates a first-time home buyer savings account, increases the document recording fee, and increases eligibility for the Housing and Community Services Department's Home Ownership Assistance Program. $4 increase to the document recording fee results in an additional $30.5 million being generated in the current biennium for affordable housing programs administered by the Housing and Community Services Department, $15.9 million in additional other funds expenditure limitations, and six positions, 2.34 FTE, are added to the budget for the Housing and Community Services Department. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4007 be amended by the B21 amendment and be reported out to pass as amended.
Discussion. Representative McClain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It sounds like House Bill 4007 was able to get some way towards a true consensus bill. I'll be a no because I just believe going from 20 to 60 is too high, but I understand the purpose of the program and commend the folks who are working to bring about achieving workforce housing as well as first-time home buying, hopefully this is the last time recording fees is seen as a pot of money. I think that it's just been one too many times to this well.
Representative Wisnett.
I was a no in capital construction. I was also a sponsor of the $15 document fee and a chief sponsor of the $5 document fee, but I'm afraid I'll still be a no on this one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I actually will be doing the opposite and casting an aye vote. I would share with each of you that for over 25 years I've been doing economic development throughout Oregon, And I have a very, very good handle on the communities in Eastern Oregon, particularly the 10 most Eastern Oregon counties. And the single greatest issue is availability of workforce. The second most significant issue holding back the economy of Eastern Oregon is affordable housing. And I believe House Bill 4007 will take steps to improving that situation and continuing to build the economy of District 57. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you. Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Having just represent the same area as the previous speaker, we may have been hearing from different people, but I'm a no vote. I've received a number of correspondence from our elected officials, the county clerks in our area, and they're just, they don't feel that this accomplishes what needs to be done, so I'll be a no vote.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I came into this session, and as things have progressed, I was favoring this bill, but due to what 1528 did to small businesses, entrepreneurs, the people that are going to pay these added fees, most of the people that will be paying these fees are taking a pretty big hit with the disconnection to the federal tax codes, so I will be a no on this.
Senator Johnson.
I wish to be associated with the remarks of Representative McLean. I've noticed with interest the effects of the inclusionary zoning having a chilling effect on developers. And again, I think we are continuing to ask a certain segment of the population to carry a disproportionate burden of financing housing, although housing is desperately needed throughout the entire state of Oregon. I'm not sure that this quantum leap is the appropriate amount of money.
Thank you. Additional discussion? Objections? Mr. Rocco, let's do a roll call, please.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Okay. Senator Gerard?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
No.
Senator Steiner-Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
No.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Johnson?
No.
Co-Chair Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Williams?
Yes.
Representative Gomber?
Aye.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Representative Stark?
No.
Representative Hovey?
Aye.
Representative Noble?
No.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
Yes.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion passes. Thank you. House Bill 4023B relating to broadband technology. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 4023B directs the Oregon Broadband Advisory Council to study and report to the Legislative Assembly on options for a local broadband champion program and creates the Connecting Oregon Schools Fund for the purposes of providing matching funds for federal monies received by school districts for broadband access. The bill allows the state CIO to provide broadband services upon request to local governments, special districts, and federally recognized Indian tribes in Oregon. The amendment removes a $750,000 appropriation from the general fund to the Connecting Oregon Schools Fund. It also makes clear that it is not the intent of the state to directly compete with telecommunications providers that provide comparable broadband services, and focuses the broadband services the state CIO may provide to tribal governments and other public bodies on unserved or underserved areas of Oregon. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4023 be amended by the B20 amendment and be reported out, do pass as amended.
Discussion.
Senator. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think this is another example of a bill not quite getting ready in a short session, although I think it was up to dash 19. I think if you look at through that the amendment, there's a lot of places where it says shall and may and shall and may, and it still basically puts government into the broadband business, and then somewhere else buried in one of the capital constructions or law or something, there's about a $2.5 million amount of funds that are going to go to this plan. So for that reason, I'll be a no.
Senator Hansel.
Question to the carrier, if I may. What is the difference between the -19s and the -20s? Is there anything substantive?
I'll call up staff to give you an accurate report on that.
They're the same. Can't believe he doesn't know that.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Sean McSpadden from the Legislative Fiscal Office, Senator Hansel. The -20 amendment is simply a combined amendment of the -16 and the -19 amendment.
Okay.
Other discussion? Objections? Senator Thompson and Johnson, did I get them all? Motion passes. Thank you. House Bill 4035A relating to tuition assistance for members of the Oregon National Guard, Representative McLean.
House Bill 4035 establishes a program to provide tuition assistance for eligible members of the Oregon National Guard who attend an Oregon Community College or public university and are working toward an associate's or bachelor's degree. The expectation is that the eligible Guard member will not have to pay for any tuition when factoring in other federal and state assistance and the tuition assistance payments under this program. The subcommittee amended the bill to clarify how the amount of tuition assistance is determined and appropriated $2.7 million general fund for the assistance payments and resources to administer the program. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4035 be amended by the -A5 amendment and be reported out to pass as amended. In essence, colleagues, this is to provide enlisted members who do not have a degree and who join the National Guard the ability to get a degree debt-free. And I want to thank Colonel, retired Colonel, and Representative Gene Wisnett for the vision and work with me to help this bill come about. Thank you.
Discussion.
Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4038A relating to military service members, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable committee members, House Bill 4038 requires the Department of Veterans Affairs to study and report on the progress of the Roseburg Veterans Home, study potential sites for state and tribal veteran cemeteries, and establish a program to provide service to incarcerated veterans. The bill prohibits the Department of State lands from selling or destroying military medals that are held as unclaimed property. As amended, the bill provides $136,531 lottery funds expenditure limitation to the Department of Veterans Affairs for incarcerated veteran service officer position and cost to establish the program. The definition of a disabled veteran for public employment preference is also explained. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends HB 4038 be amended by the A6 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4074 relating to a sheet of United States savings bonds, Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 4074 requires holders of U.S. saving bonds that are presumed abandoned to turn over those bonds to the Department of State lands and provides a mechanism for the agency to contact or notify the purported owner of the bonds so the bonds can be claimed. The measure also provides a method for the Department of State lands to take the title of unclaimed bond in order to redeem mature bonds for their cash value, whereby the proceeds can be deposited into the common school fund and be invested pending a claim by the original bond holder. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4074 be reported out due pass.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4089A relating to industrial hemp, Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 4089A establishes the an industrial hemp fund and a pilot program within Oregon Department of Agriculture. The bill also allows hemp growers and handlers to transfer hemp and related items to the recreational marijuana system and requires the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to track those items. Additional other funds expenditure limitation for two positions and associated expenses of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission is included in the recommended amendment. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4089 be amended by the A9 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Objections. Motion passes. House Bill 4118A relating to projects on federal lands. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Honorable Committee members. House Bill 4118 sets forth the policy of the state regarding the use of the Good Neighbor Authority agreements, and as amended, provides a one-time general fund appropriation of $500,000 to the Oregon Department of Forestry to support projects on federal lands between state and federal agencies that are signatory to the Good Neighbor agreements. Some may ask if why we're spending money for U.S. on U.S. property, but I've seen this. It's a good project that we should continue to support to manage our forest. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4118 be amended by the A7 amendment and be reported out pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4137A relating to addiction recovery. Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 4137 authorizes the Director of the Alcohol and Drug Policy Commission to appoint employees to continue its work of developing and coordinating the implementation of a comprehensive addiction prevention, treatment, and recovery plan for the state with specific deadlines and reporting requirements. The Oregon Health Authority estimates the fiscal impact of the bill to be $46,202 general fund, one position, and 0.17 FTE for the 17-19 biennium, and $892,081 general fund, five positions, and four FTE for the 19-21 biennium. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4137 be amended by the -A5 amendment and be reported out as due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4139A relating to the taxation of certain heavy equipment. Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 4139 replaces the existing personal property tax system for heavy equipment held for rental with a 2% point of sales tax. Heavy equipment rental providers will file returns and remit the tax to the Department of Revenue. The department will use up to 5% of the revenue for administrative costs and remit the remainder back to the counties. This bill addresses the problem of assessing and taxing equipment that is mobile and often may reside in a county other than the county of the owner on the date it is to be assessed. The department will ensure that the monies paid with the point of sales tax are equal to what would have been paid under the prior system by issuing refunds or billings for amounts owed if the receipts differ. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4139 be reported out due pass.
Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4152A relating to wildfires. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 4152 requires the Oregon State Fire Marshal to issue non-competitive grants to the Multnomah and Hood River County Sheriff's Office for equipment and training needed for wildfire recovery, mitigation, and preparedness. The measure appropriates $151,000 from the general fund to the State Fire Marshal to finance the grants, which must be issued by April 30th, 2018. Your Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4152 as amended to this committee.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 5701, Capital Construction. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 5701 is the budget bill for capital construction projects. The bill establishes authority for the acquisition of land and the planning, design, repair, and construction of projects with costs over $1 million. Projects are funded with proceeds of bonds authorized in Senate Bill 5702, as well as other revenue and federal grants received by agencies. The subcommittee recommends additional capital construction expenditure limitation for the 2017-19 biennium of $90.2 million other funds and $12.5 million federal funds. The bill also increases capital 2015-17 capital construction limitation for two projects. The budget report provides a detailed list of capital construction project descriptions and recommended amounts. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5701 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion. Objections. Motion passes. Senate Bill 5702, Bonding Authorization, Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Madam Chair and honorable colleagues. Senate Bill 5702 amends the limits established during the 2017 session for the maximum amount of bonds and third-party financing agreements that state agencies may issue. The proceeds from issuance of bonds are included as revenue in agency budgets. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommendations include $30.5 million of Article 11G bonds, $32.3 million of Article 11Q bonds, and $9.9 million of lottery bonds to finance four public university projects. $17.6 million of Article 11Q bonds to finance the capital cost of state property, $11.3 million of lottery revenue bonds to support three projects, $4 million of Article 11F bonds to finance two public university projects that will be supported with university revenues. A detailed list of project amounts and descriptions is included in the budget report. The budget report also includes two recommended budget notes and scope changes for previously approved projects. General fund debt service on the bonding approved in the bill is estimated to be $833,867 in the 17-19 biennium and $12.4 million in the 2019-21 biennium. Lottery funds debt service is estimated to be $3.3 million in the 2019-21 biennium. Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5702 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I need to declare a potential conflict of interest as I'm a member of a limited liability company that does economic development in both 5702 and, I apologize, 5701 have projects in there, two entities that I'm associated with, and so I just need to get those conflicts on the record.
Thank you. Noted. Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Senate Bill 5703, Lottery Allocation, Senator,
I'll do it.
Johnson, thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, Senate Bill.
Pardon me? I thought you spoke to me, I'm sorry.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 5703 adjusts the lottery allocations from the Administrative Services Economic Development Fund and the Veterans Services Fund and adjusts allocations from the criminal fine account to distribute these resources as needed to implement the 2018 session budget actions. The bill provides each state agency with the lottery and criminal fine account funds that it is authorized to spend in its budget as modified by House Bill 5201. Your Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5703 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Discussion? Representative Smith.
Thank you. Colleagues, I apologize for this, but I do have two more conflicts. Madam Co-Chair, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest on Senate Bill 5703. I'm a member of a limited liability company that does economic development throughout Oregon. And as I read this bill, there are folks I'm associated with who will be receiving dollars from this.
Thank you. Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. House Bill 4163, Program Change. House Bill 4163, as amended, makes the necessary changes in statutes and session laws to support the 2017-19 legislatively adopted budget, to clarify the application of statutes for the budget, and to modify provisions relating to the use of funds. This non-appropriation bill is necessary to achieve a balanced budget for the 2017-19 biennium. Specifically, the measure does the following. moves responsibility for administering debt service on outstanding general obligation bonds sold for the benefit of Oregon Health and Science University from the Department of Administrative Services to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Moves civil penalties for recreational marijuana to the general fund. Changes cost recovery requirement for financial institution data match. Provides for an actuarial review of the public employee's retirement system. Permits the Oregon Health Authority to designate another entity to be responsible for the cancer registry. Makes permanent current law changes to legislator salaries. Increases judges' annual salaries by $5,000 on July 1st, 2018. Moves Oregon Volunteers Program from the Governor's Office to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. Validates the general fund appropriation language for two agencies. The bill has an emergency clause and is effective on passage. The Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 4163 be amended by the Dash 1 Amendment and be reported out due pass as amended. Discussion. Objections. Motion passes. House Bill 5201, Budget Reconciliation, Senator Johnson.
Colleagues, House Bill 5201 is the 2018 session omnibus budget reconciliation bill adjusting the state budget for the 2017-19 biennium. Along with the 2018 session budget decisions, the bill includes technical adjustments and actions recommended by the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means. No changes were made to the General Purpose Emergency Fund, which is preserved at just under $50 million. Based on the current revenue forecast, after all budget actions and adjustments, the general fund ending balance is projected to be about $293 million. The $100 million special purpose appropriation for state employee compensation was estimated with $96.9 million allocated to state agencies. This amount is expected to cover almost all, if not all, costs associated with compensation plan changes. Lottery funds, other funds, and federal funds are also adjusted to cover costs. Other actions include, but are not limited to, establishment of a $30 million special purpose appropriation to address budget risks and potential costs for health and human service programs. Appropriates $27.5 million general fund to cover the state share of costs of the 2017 fire season. Adds $15.7 million general fund for foster care program. Appropriates a total of $6.4 million general fund to the Department of Administrative Services for various local projects across the state. Provides $5.2 million general fund for emergency winter housing and shelter. Adds $3.3 million general fund to the Secretary of State for ballot measure 101 special election costs. Gives $3 million general fund to OSU for the Northwest National Marine Renewable Energy Center. Increases the general fund support for the Oregon State Police by $2.9 million. Other rebalance actions. Adds $2.2 million general fund for mental health residential rates. Appropriates $1.9 million for an environmental data management system at the Department of Environmental Quality. Appropriates $1.6 million to the military department to pay for disallowed federal charges at the Office of Emergency Management. Provides $1.4 million to the Department of Administrative Services for a carbon policy office. Seven budget notes are included in the budget report for this bill. Your Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5201 be amended by the Dash 3 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion. Senator Hansel.
I had an initial question about the carbon policy office. Is there a possibility to...
May I ask the professional staff to come forward? I don't serve on capital construction, and I don't know the discussion.
Excuse me.
My question, sir, is that we're taking $1.5 million from the general fund for DAS to create a carbon policy office. Do we know who is going to actually be involved in this particular office?
Mr. Chair, Senator Hansel, the office will be led by the governor's carbon policy advisor. There are then a couple technical positions being added and one support staff position being added.
Do we know yet in the functioning of it that it the constituents from throughout the state will be involved in the discussion or policy, or is that yet to be determined?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lahansel, I would say that that's probably to be determined, but I would imagine it would be included.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Earlier today, when you briefed our caucus, I had brought this up too. I'm curious, what is the governor going to do with $1.5 million in funded towards a carbon policy office? Was there any testimony from the governor?
Mr. Chair, Representative McLean, I don't believe the governor testified during the subcommittee process or for the public hearing on the bill.
Okay, follow up. Did anybody testify in asking for $1.5 million?
Chair Nathanson and Representative McLean, there was no testimony during the subcommittee public hearing to this item.
Can I follow up? That's extraordinary. Was there any paperwork which indicated what $1.5 million was going to pay for? I understand that it's going to provide for more personnel, but do we have any idea what the purpose of this is for?
Madam Chair, Representative McLean, we did have some papers that were delivered to us that had an outline of a plan, and this was a decision made by the co-chairs of the committee to include this funding.
I do want the record to show that the other co-chair's name is Courtney, and that he also was part of this decision. So I just want to make sure, Representative McLean, to the extent that you're unhappy, you should also be unhappy with me, because we were in it together. It's not going to help you, given the way your body language now and your form of I understand, but I want you to understand that I was also part of this. And I'm not trying to be vague here. I mean, this is an awkward moment. You're making me feel very awkward. And I realize that doesn't probably bother you, but the fact is I can't, since you continue to look at your co-chair, Hazen, you should also look at the co-chair, Courtney, so I just want you to understand that.
Madam Co-Chair, you were on the floor of the House. We had a very contentious debate over tax policy, and I heard again and again and again about children, the need for our children to have services, the elderly, veterans, over and over and over. And so I'm just, given that debate, we're spending $1.5 million that could have gone to those very same children, which many here talked about on the floor of the House. And I still don't have any idea what this carbon policy office is going to do. So the irony that we sit here just a mere short time after the pronunciations on the floor of the House is not escaped on me.
So I do need to say something. If it's the carbon policy position you're upset about, the Speaker and I will just announce, if not momentarily, we're going to put together a joint committee on cap and invest.
I'm sorry, sir.
On the cap and invest issue, the carbon issue.
Okay.
And we take it very seriously, because we feel, and I think most of us feel, we must address that issue. So we will go into the interim with a very vigorous joint committee, Democrat and Republicans. And this is part of that effort, I believe, and I hope I'm not making a mistake because we were creating it, but I believe that this is also, from a position standpoint, Your Honor, Representative McLean, an attempt to make sure that we had the kind of expertise and staffing we need. And I could be wrong, but if that's what this is a part, I remember that is one of the reasons we talked about these positions. So I'm trying to give some clarification here, Your Honor, Representative Mike McLean, and I mean that sincerely. And I don't think that release is going out yet. It's not a secret thing, and we will do that in good faith as we try to address this very difficult issue of cap and invest. So I don't know if that helps. Again, I can't tell you every single penny therefore go here, but that is what we do plan to do, and that release should be coming out. I don't think it came out today, but it'll come out tomorrow, and that will be our effort, Your Honor. I'm struggling in good faith to answer your very legitimate and important questions.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's a lot in this bill that I think is important. I'm supportive of. But I appreciate your explanation, and it is important. And it has bipartisan approach, or I should say support, to address the issue in a very consensus-based way. And so, I'll stand by and look forward to getting more information. Thank you.
And if I made any mistakes there, which someone correct me, I'm struggling here to recover exactly what's going on here, because I really feel compelled to answer the good representative from Central Oregon's questions as best I can. And again, you can take me to task if I've made any mistake here, but I'm trying to really do the best I can to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I would appreciate if Mr. Borden could come up and give us the same report about Oregon Saves very briefly. We talked about it in capital construction. Oregon Saves, I supported the program. I hope it works. I think it's got good intentions. But we had some good information in capital construction, why we need this 1.8. And also, it was mentioned the litigation. If you could expand on that, I would appreciate it. I think the committee would appreciate it.
Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, Representative, the Oregon Saves program is asking for a $1.8 million supplemental appropriation. And the program initially is funded with a general fund loan for last biennium and this biennium and likely next biennium until the corpus of the employee's contribution into their savings account is sufficient to fund both the normal operations of Treasury's support for the program and begin repayment of these general fund loans. The $1.8 million is for predominantly education and outreach to employers and employees' participation. And then there are likely to be some of these costs associated with litigation. Thank you.
Matt, just a quick follow-up thing. Thank you very much for that. I think you commented this morning, we hope that that will be caught up and there will be no more funding, general fund, or helping that on it in the future. I think what year we came up.
Madam Co-Chair and Representative, Treasury has been closely looking at this and working with some national consultants, but at this time they don't have a definitive timeline to begin repayment of the general fund. So they are continuing to bring larger and larger employers on board and participation, and the corpus of the account, I don't have the figure in front of me. I believe it's roughly $1 million or so, continues to grow, but it will be some time before, again, that is sufficient to generate enough fees to pay for the operation of the program and begin repayment of the general fund loan. It's similar in fashion to the 529 program that was started in the early 2000s that required upfront general fund, and then as that grew financially, it was able to become self-supporting and made full repayment of the general fund obligation. Thank you.
Yes. Senator Johnson, okay. And then Representative.
Mr.
You.
Borden made a remark that jumped out and causes me to have this question. You said litigation, and I'm curious what that was. There were questions raised when this bill was making it through the 2017 session about whether or not we were ready to go, and I was surprised to hear you use the word litigation.
Madam Co-Chair and Senator Johnson, I do not have the actual information in front of me, but as you may recall, the emergency board last fall, the agency requested some supplemental funding at that time to pay for what is essentially getting the program up and running, so normal legal costs, and those legal costs are predominantly shared with two other states. But then they did get a lawsuit filed against them, I believe, on the application of this to federal law. And so they are working their way through that litigation right now.
Madam Chair, just a comment. I think you're referring to the ERISA, and I think that many of us wished that that issue were resolved prior to diving into this program. As laudable as it is to encourage Oregonians to save, there were these outstanding questions, and now we're going to be paying for litigation. So it's just a comment.
Representative McClain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to make sure the money that is being appropriated will be paid back.
Co-chair and Representative McClain, yes, it will.
Follow up then. Because this program was, which I think Treasurer Reed is doing his best to implement and seems to have been received well, but it's supposed to have not, in the end, cost us anything. So that we loan it some money to get going and then it pays us back. This is some additional money loaned, but it all comes back. Is that correct?
Madam Co-Chair and Representative McClain, that's absolutely correct. This is just a supplemental appropriation to get the program up and running, essentially for cash flow purposes and until it can begin repayment.
All right, thank you.
Senator Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. How do the actual enrollment rates compare with projections? And it's my understanding that the opt-out rate is trending higher than, like, industry norms. Is that true?
Madam Co-Chair and Senator, I do not have the actual information in front of me for those particular statistics. My recollection is that they are retaining approximately 70% of the people that do enroll. So the opt-out in the program, it's is around 30%, but that is a key statistic for this program to monitor into the future, because again, that informs how much of the corpus will grow and can be used for repayment of the general fund.
One follow-up. How many enrollments are needed to break even?
Madam Co-Chair and Senator, I'm sorry, I do not have that information in front of me. The state treasury has worked with Boston College and has those projections and has recently updated them, but my apology, I don't have them in front of me. I can get them for you.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nathanson. My question is on a completely different topic.
Is it related to this bill?
Yes, it is.
Just making sure we weren't there. There's no one else in the queue.
Excellent, thank you. I have a detailed question on the child welfare budget and allotments there, if someone can come up on that.
On the way.
Just a small detail. So the bill pays out $10 million in total funds for child care stipends that, to my understanding, in order to help with paying for child care for foster parents who have the young children beginning April 1st. And we just gave an increase in stipends starting in January. And it says that for ages 0 to 5, that it would be an increased stipend of up to $375 per month. Is that only for those who have their children in child care? Is there an application process for that? Or is it assumed that if the child is that age, that foster parent would receive that stipend?
Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee, Representative Stark, my understanding is the stipend, I don't have the information with me, but I believe it's for working. Both parents have to be working, and they'd have to demonstrate proof of work. And again, I think the rules are still in the process of being written. I can get you some additional details. But the stipend, there wasn't a stipend increase in January. There was an increase in payment rates to foster parents. The stipend for the child care piece of this hasn't actually gone into place yet. Originally, it was going to go into place earlier, but the department reworked the numbers and wanted to design a program that was a little bit higher stipend and actually spanned a broader group of children than the original plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Other discussion? Objections? Motion passes. Will you please see if Representative Smith is available?
I'll do it if you want.
No.
We're ready? We're ready. And I believe this is the last one of the day, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. So, Madam Co-Chair, House Bill 5202 is the fee ratification bill. And what it does is it ratifies fee changes approved by the Department of Administrative Services and adopted administratively by the following agencies. The Board of Licensed Professional Counselors and Therapists, Department of Consumer and Business Services, Department of Environmental Quality, Occupational Therapy Licensing Board, the Board of Pharmacy, Board of Psychology, Department of Agriculture, the Oregon Health Authority, and the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Madam Co-Chair, your Capital Construction Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5202.
Thank you. Discussion? Objections?
Didn't see that coming.
Wait for Mr. Rocco to report. Motion passes. Mr. Rocco, that was our last bill on today's meeting, is that right?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
I'm going to close the work session, but don't jump out of your chairs yet. I'm closing that work session. Mr. Rocco, will there be any other meetings of this committee?
We hope not.
But it's not over till it's over, right?
That's correct. So we would advise you maybe to just recess in case something comes up.
Thank you.
Unanticipated.
When we're done here, I will recess. But in the event that this should be our last meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, I want to thank you especially, as always, all of the Legislative Fiscal Office staff for this enormous amount of work and support you provide to the Legislative Assembly, both chambers. Thank you very much. I also want to say a special thank you to my co-chair, Senator Courtney, Mr. President. Thank you for a really wonderful experience once again. Okay, we're already getting strange signals. Thanks.
I put myself in this situation, and I remember telling my wife, I don't know why I did this. And I thought, well, I hadn't really announced it because I was, and I thought I'd wait. Next thing I know, it was February 5th. I just want to say that I've always admired Nancy Nathanson at a distance. In this business, when you've been in as long as that, there are people you want to work with. You just would love to find a bill or a topic to work with just because of them. And I've always wanted to work with Nancy Nathanson. And I never dreamed it'd be like this. And so all I'm going to say is that she literally, you know, I'm now, my personality is interesting, and I'll just leave it at that. So I, you know, I don't do this very well. I don't do budgets. So she found, she just really showed me how to be a co-chair. She showed me the ways around her budget library, and I'm sad we're not going to meet again. I'm not going to play games about it because I won't be working with Nancy anymore. And I I just hope the House knows, and this is my opinion, you have really an extraordinary co-chair. You have an extraordinary person. Her personality, her brains, her skill set, just the way she treats people, she's special. And, you know, I've been around a long time. I've known a lot of co-chairs, and they're very interesting people. But I'll tell you, anytime I get a chance to work with Nathan Nathanson, I'm going to jump at it. And as far as the members of this committee is concerned, it just happened a moment ago, this joint committee is it's a dangerous structure because many states don't do it this way. They have separate finance and budget committees.
Right.
Oregon chose to do a joint committee.
Yep.
It's very hard to do. And I've always marveled at, I had marveled at this group in particular, the way you treat each other. I mean, just now, there was a very difficult battle on the House. I watched it. Very difficult. And yet you found a way to come here, and the way you're so respectful and civil with one another, even when there's a dust-up, that's not going on in our society very much today. And so this state owes this group a lot, because you're doing the most important work. That's the budget. We have to balance our budget. And you found a way to be so respectful and civil. I'm always amazed at Ways and Means. You're such a large group, and it's very hard to make this work, and you do it day in and day out. The last thing is the staff. I have said so many times a legislator is only as good as his or her staff. I've said it years ago, and I believe I can prove it. And I remember going into Ken Rocco's desk and said, you got to take care of me because I don't know what I'm doing. And he said, we know you don't know what you're doing, and we will take care of you. So it's all right. I am very grateful to his staff. This LFO staff is, I don't think there can be a better budget group in the nation. I mean, they're just very, very good. And they've got a great attitude. They really want this to work for Oregon and her people. And so I'm sad we're not going to meet again. I truly am. And I know that no one else is sad. But I really got to say I like doing this now. I like it right now. And when I'm thinking about it, I might not feel the same way. But I like it right now. And I just want to thank every member of this committee. And I want to thank the staff for allowing me to be on your team. It's been special, and it's been an honor.
We are recessed.